Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the Earn Your Happy podcast. And you guys, if you are feeling isolated, if you're feeling like you don't have a tribe of women, like-minded people to really help you transcend from where you are right now into the person that you know you are being called to be, or maybe you're getting that soul calling and you're not quite answering it yet, and it's turning more into a scream and it's starting to make you feel even more awful than the thought of facing the fear around doing that actual thing. If you're in any of these positions, you have to join me this year at The Bliss Project. It is March 2nd through the 4th in Newport Beach, California, and it is going to be a life-changing weekend. If you've been wanting to bust through your fears and really meet a like-minded tribe of people, this is exactly where you must be. If you're feeling called to this, I want you to go check it out at theblissproject.info right now. It's also in the show notes. And who is this event for? You guys, I really want to get clear on if you're feeling called to it. I want to make sure that you know what is going to go on there. So if you have always had a desire to do something big, but you've always been afraid to follow through, if you feel like you don't have the tools or the expertise to take the next step, if you wish you had that tribe of supportive people, if you're ready to take that next step into the next level, but you have no idea what that's even supposed to look like, or if you just want to feel more fully alive each day, and this is absolutely for you if you want a deeper connection and understanding in your relationships, if you want to become more fulfilled in your own job that you have right now and in daily tasks, if you want to know the true desires of your soul, and if you're ready to enjoy the journey just as much as the destination. And truly, if you are feeling called to expand your spiritual connection, we're going to be doing some incredible exercises, meditations. We have some awesome teachers who are going to come in and really give you the space to understand what that feels like for you, because for everyone, it's so different. But to be able to do it together makes you feel even more connected than you've ever felt before. So if you're interested in meditation, if you want to create a solid foundation for all of your goals and dreams to be built on, or if you just need a mental reset, a confidence booster, and to really own your own personal power, you guys, this is the place that you want to be. So there are still some tickets left, but they sell out fast, you guys. And this year will be the best Bliss Project that we've ever done. We have a really amazing team working on it, and we're adding so many more things than we have ever done in prior years, because I know that when I get the opportunity to put epic women into a room, I want magical things there so that you guys can truly have the tools to create your own amazing transformation and experiences. And you guys, what happens there is nothing short of miraculous. So if you're ready to create your transformation, if you're ready to step in, if you're ready to have your tribe, this is where you want to be. And I hope that you join us and that I get to meet you and hug you and see you there. So theblissproject.info.
Hey everybody, it's Chris.
And if you are confused about that deep voice on the podcast, that is my husband Chris, and welcome back to the show. We are doing an episode together because we have a lot to say for the new year, 2018.
You know, Lori and I were doing our typical New Year's tradition where we talked about all the wins the year prior and everything that we're doing this next year. And we've actually been rolling up our sleeves and working on this amazing life-changing course coming up that we're not going to tell you what the name is yet. It'll be out in a couple of months. What, a couple months, Lori?
Yeah, I think 2 months exactly.
And it's kind of based on many things, but also the mantra that I wake Lori up to every single day, which is I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fit than I was yesterday. And all the components that go into making you happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fit than you were the day before. So I'm really excited that we're working on this thing together. But it started so many thoughts and so many things coming up for us that we thought, hey, why not just jump on the mics and share a lot of our thoughts with all of our audience that we love so dearly. So we are hoping that you're going to get massive value out of Lori and I literally thinking out loud about so many of the things that we've been working on as we have kind of sped into this new year.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, so many people, the main question that we get asked is what are our rituals? How do we set goals? How do we know what the next step is? And I think that's going to be really important for you to know in 2018. I think clarity is power and just getting so clear on a few things. That's really what Chris and I are doing more and more as we really start growing our business and our life and understanding even how to work better together. It's just getting really clear on our roles and clear on our goals. That rhymes. But I also just wanted to share, you know, people who are really in the industry of self-development, self-help, entrepreneurship, whatever that looks like, they have amazing rituals. And I have to say that this year, I really feel like our New Year's ritual that we've been doing the past 7 or 8 years, even that is getting more clear exactly what we have planned for the new year. And we wanted to share with you guys because I know it's so vital. This is such an important time of year to start reassessing and getting really clear. And that's what we wanted to share with you. So Chris, what was something that you loved about what we did on New Year's? I'm just going to summarize that really quick.
You know, number one, just staying in and not being a part of the mess out there. You feel so good the next day, like you're getting a jump start on everybody else. But I love, and look at when we sat down, we took inventory of what we did the year before. We forgot all that we had done. And you guys, this is so important. How many of you are beating yourselves up right now saying you feel behind or you haven't accomplished enough, and yet you haven't taken inventory of everything you did accomplish the year before? Because Lori and I literally had to pull out our calendar and start with January and then go February and then go March and be like, oh my God, in January we went here. Oh my God, in February we did this. Oh my God, in March we went here. Because we had forgotten epic things that we did last year. Like, really, really big things. And so without taking inventory of that, we wouldn't have felt as good about our year prior as what we felt by the time we were done with that conversation.
You know what it made me realize is how much you can get done in a year. Because I was kind of looking at this year like, okay, well, I can probably only get a few big things done. And when we went back and looked, I was completely blown away by how many places we had gone, by how many new friends that we had made. So just what a difference a year can make. Because sometimes I think when people look at their big audacious goal, they're like, oh God, this is going to take like 5 years. When really some things, you can have the love of your life walk into your life. You could be engaged next year. You could have a new best friend. You could be traveling to new places and have a new purpose in your life. Like, a year is so incredible, you guys. So I want you to have the most amazing year. And that's why we're going to jump right into this. So the course that we're creating is exactly about this. It's not necessarily about finding and following your purpose. It is finding and following the things that light you up and all of the things that you are going to be doing along with that. Just getting really, really focused on what actually gives you life instead of bringing you boredom and bringing you monotony. So we want to chat all about what does that look like for you? How do you get clear on exactly what that looks like? So Chris, what is something that you do when you are thinking about what you want to do for the year? Like, really getting clear on your intentions.
Well, it all starts with your mind, the health of your mind, what's going into your mind, because what goes into your mind is going to come out in manifest, meaning what goes into your mind is going to come out in form. It's going to be the events that happen to you, the things that you accomplish, the things that you have, or the things that you experience. All of that is a result of what goes into your mind. So what did I do? I made sure that I recommitted to reading. I said, I'm going to read one book a week. I know that sounds intense for some people. Maybe yours is one a month, but I was going to make sure the stuff going into my mind was the right stuff so that I could get the right output. So I recommitted to reading a book a week. What about you?
For me, it's really making sure that my beliefs are aligned with my intentions. And in order for me to do that, I have to really look at where I'm holding myself back and what I believe about myself and about the world and about other people. So for where I want to go, I want to remove all of my limiting beliefs, knowing that I, even just really rooting down and knowing that I am the only obstacle that is maybe holding me back from the amount of money that I want to make or the people that I want to bring into my life. And knowing that if I can think it and I can dream it and hold the vision, that it's absolutely for me. It's 100% sent for me. And it is now my job to clear all of the blocks in order to become that person and believe that I am that person that could do that thing.
You know, when we were going into, I know now we're going into 2018, but when we were going into 2017, a whole year ago, do you remember the one thing I said I was going to get way better at when it came to mindset? It was that I was going to be super hyper-conscious of releasing judgment and loving people more. And you know what the result was? The result was I had brought in the most epic human beings into my life this year. Like incredible, high-level, remarkable friends and family and just people that became a part of our tribe. People that we, you know, didn't really see ourselves hanging out with a whole year ago. And that's just one of the many fruits that come from when you release judgment and commit to just loving people more. And plus there's just way less stress, I noticed, when you're not spending all your time judging and instead just loving people where you're at, knowing that they kind of had their own experience, their own path of getting there. So who are you to judge it? And the end result to, you know, making sure that I concentrated on that being some of the healthy stuff going in and out of my mind one whole year ago was, look, we had our best year financially. We had our best year from a happiness standpoint. We had our most fit year, and we really just, all the pieces fell together. And I really believe that was a big part of deciding to release judgment and just love people more where they're at.
Oh man, huge part. I just want to touch on that for one second because it affected my life. Your, just having that as your intention, not judging people, not only did it affect my life because I was no longer worried about, oh man, I really like this person because they have this incredible gift, but maybe Chris won't be able to see it because they're a little bit out there, a little woo-woo, or maybe he won't like the way this person shows up. And you know, I think a lot of that was also me judging myself and my ability to just be able to trust people and so many different things like that too. So it really freed me up to look at where I am judging and also just to stop worrying about what you think. Like, that's okay. That's up to him if that's something that he needs to judge or not.
That was you judging me.
Yeah, that was me judging you. Freedom. Okay. So what about your thoughts? What do you notice that you're catching? Because I really want to talk about how let's just go there. Law of attraction. What we're thinking, what we're attracting, it's really coming into our lives if it's a thought that we are constantly thinking over and over again.
Well, you know, when we are not on our game, not in our habit of meditation and prayer in the morning, then I feel like my thoughts get dictated to me. I'm busy or I'm stressed out or, you know, I've got all these huge expenses that we're investing in coming up and they're stressful, or I've got, you know, these things happening to me instead of happening for me. So then when we're on our great streaks of making sure we're getting all of our meditations in and prayers in and, you know, we're doing all the fundamentals that we talk about all the time, that's when I never feel like anything's happening to me. That's when I do feel like everything's happening for me. And I'm in a place of abundance, which then attracts more abundance. I'm in a place of happiness, which then attracts more happiness. I'm literally in a place where I view my body and my health as much better instead of stressful. I view it as energetic and fit and ripped. And then, of course, I get more of that. So it's so simple, but it's not easy. In other words, it's simple that if you do the short 10, 15, 20 minute prayer and meditation every single day, then you feel like you rule the world and therefore you do rule the world in terms of what's happening for you. But it's not easy in that life happens, you got to make it a priority. Although it's one of the simplest habits, it's sometimes hard to fit in. And so you have to carve that time out. Otherwise, you are going to spend this next year feeling like everything's happening to you instead of for you.
And one thing about the thoughts that we're thinking is sometimes when people make this realization about, oh my gosh, my thoughts are the things that are manifesting in my life, it can be a little bit overwhelming. You can feel a little bit guilty about looking at your life and not wanting to take ownership in, wait a minute, there's no way that I manifested this crap into my life. And something that I want to share with you so that you're not freaking out like, wow, I've been thinking this terrible thought yesterday. Well, we throw a lot of different seeds out during the day. So picture it that way. You have a million different thoughts. Some are positive, some are negative. But the ones that are going to stick are the ones that you are constantly watering, the ones that you're constantly nurturing. So yeah, I have about thousands of negative thoughts a day, but as long as those are the ones that I'm not letting take roots. So I'm really looking at the positive ones and I'm feeding that. So I'm not feeding my fears. I'm really trying to observe when I have a fearful thought and then move to the positive thought or move to the intention that I want and the feeling that I want. And I'm pouring all of my thoughts as much as possible, all of my actions, all of my intentions, and I am nurturing those positive thoughts. And your brain is going to start to choose those more and more. And that's really what the law of attraction starts to look like, or what it starts to manifest like in your life, is the thoughts that you are giving the most attention to are the ones that are going to finally start harvesting. And you guys, if you have not been doing this, this takes a little bit of time. So be really patient, but you'll start to notice how when you do this over time, you're going to notice which ones are really taking roots. You're going to feel it. So Chris, mindset blocks. I want to know the things that actually block you though. Are there certain words? Are there certain feelings that block you from having this abundance mindset, from setting these intentions? Maybe it's attachment, perfectionism, comparison. I know that you talked about judgment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've talked about these quite a bit in the past, and the two biggies for me, and it's not that they're ever gone, right? You're always working on them because it's almost like they're a part of your DNA, and you got to keep getting, you know, shaving them down and shaving them down and shaving them down until they're at least manageable. But it was always perfectionism. Like, I wouldn't try something until I knew it was going to be perfect. So how many opportunities did I miss? And I feel like we did a great job of getting through that one a long time ago, yet it'll still pop up every once in a while and you got to beat it back down. And then the other one was judgment. And I feel like the judgment is the feel good one. And what I mean by that is you feel so damn good once you just decide to get rid of that one. And it's not that judgment doesn't ever pop up again. Like on our Insta stories, you're notorious for joking that I'm always complaining about someone's driving ahead of me, which is a form of judgment. So it's not that it doesn't always, you know, or it's not that it stays away forever. But the more that you can manage to remove these blocks and be conscious of them, then the better your results are going to manifest faster.
That's so good. So I was just talking to someone yesterday. I went to coffee with someone and one of her biggest things was perfectionism. And I was trying to figure out the root of it because I've definitely struggled with judgment. For sure, judgment of myself, judgment of other people. But perfectionism has never been one I've really struggled with. Yet, I know so many people do. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest things people struggle with. And I was trying to figure out what the root of perfectionism was. Like, what are you so afraid of? And at the end of the day, it was really that they were just judging themselves so hard that it was really their own judgment that they're most afraid of, because they couldn't even nail down what the criticism was and who it was from. It was like the most, so sometimes I guess what I'm saying is like really following the fear and putting light on it to really say, what is it exactly that you're actually afraid of? Because we're making up these huge stories that don't even exist yet. And we're robbing ourselves instead of watering the story of the possibility. So stop watering and nurturing the fear and the judgment and the perfectionism and the criticism that doesn't even exist yet, and start watering the possibility. So for me, I know that I switch to the possibility at all times. Like if I'm thinking about, what if I crash and burn after I do this speaking thing? What if I don't deliver good content? What if I can't live up to the standard that I have of myself that I want, or I want to deliver these feelings? And then I really look at just letting go. Like, what's the worst that could possibly happen following that fear? And it's like, well, the worst that could possibly happen is some people don't like me. I get slightly criticized. And most likely, most people just forget. Sometimes that's the most freeing thing in the world. You might hate this podcast. You might hate my talk. You might hate Chris's talk. But you're going to forget about it in 5 minutes because you're going to be too focused on something else about yourself.
You know what's so funny is what holds us back is that we think we're more significant than we really are.
Totally.
When I say we, I mean all people. In other words, you think someone's going to notice your mistake and remember it. You think someone's going to notice what you say and it's going to really affect them. You think someone's going to care so much about the content you're putting out there, the course you're putting out there, the podcast you're putting out there, the YouTube channel you're putting out, and actually people give maybe like 10% of a shit that you thought that they actually give. So we make ourselves way more significant than we really are, and that's what holds us back. If we realize just how insignificant we are and that our job is really just to put everything that we can out there to see who it may affect for the positive, then that really just frees you up.
You guys, at the end of the day, focus on the impact you're making and focus on the possibility. Anything else is robbing you of your happiness and robbing the world of your gifts. And that's really what I want to point out in this course, is that we are talking about how unique each individual person is, and that you are connected and aligned with something much bigger than you. And it's when we don't believe that, that we are miserable, that we actually begin to live in our own misery. So full-time faith, right? Like whenever I start to feel sad or bad about something, or like the world is, you know, a tough place to live and things don't happen the way that they should, or we're just, you know, in a time that can either be viewed as really turbulent, or you can choose to look at it as a time that you are able to put anything out into the world, that you can think a thought and go make an impact on somebody. How crazy is that?
I honestly believe this is the best time that we have ever been living is in terms of a human race. It's so funny. You just nailed it when you said, you know, people who are caught up in watching the news, or people who are caught up in reading the news feeds, or people who are caught up in all the Facebook drama being posted or anything like that. What's their view? Their view is, oh, you know, we're just minutes away from a nuclear war. Oh, there's feast and famine everywhere. Oh, everything is just out of control. Oh, I don't like our leader. Or, oh, I don't like this. And they just feel like it's piling down on them. Matter of fact, you know what I saw most in 2017? Oh, it was such a tough year. Oh, it was a year that we faced so much turmoil. And yeah, there's issues out there. I'm not disrespecting the issues. Except there's also an equal amount, if not more, incredible opportunities right now. Like, it's never been easier to just become a brand and make money. It's never been easier to create a product, a physical one or an online product, and get it out to the masses because of social media and, you know, the efficient ways of advertising now and word of mouth. It's never been easier to get fit or to get happy because the amount of content out there is huge compared to what it's ever been. And by the way, most of that content is free, so there's no excuses. It's never been easier to change your tribe. Like, you know, it wasn't long ago where your tribe was whoever your coworkers and family and neighbors were, and you had no choice. But now you get to plug into different people, different podcasts, different friends on Facebook or Instagram. It's never been cheaper to travel, quite frankly. Go check out the stats on that, to get on a plane or a train and go see somebody and change your tribe that way. And it's never been more acceptable to drop what you're doing and change your life in an instant because you decided to.
I love that. And we don't find our voice in the easy times. We don't find what we truly believe in without criticism, right? We don't figure out what we want to stand for until there is something that is right in front of us pushing against us. It is do or die. Like, we have this beautiful opportunity right now with all of these different challenges to say, what is the solution? Because the people who find the solutions are the ones who are happiest and the ones who are getting paid. So find the solution. Sometimes the most turbulent times is the biggest opportunity to live so close to your purpose. But it's when we deviate back into fear that you shrink. You just put shackles all over your body. Like, all I can think about is when I go in fear, when I watch the news, when I start to believe that I am helpless, I feel the weight of the world on me. I feel so bound up. I feel completely tied down. And I know that that is the opposite of what we're connected to, because I know that our source, our creator, wants us to feel like we have an impact, wants us to live out our dream, live out our calling, live out our purpose. And I really believe our purpose is just to constantly seek expansion, seek the growth, seek the higher level of elevation, whether that's in people, whether that's in our thoughts. I mean, it really starts with our thoughts first, right? And I know that if you have been to a really low place and you're used to thinking really low level thoughts, it's not going to be the easiest thing to go grab the first positive thought that comes by and stick with it all day. This is about one step at a time, one better thought than the last one, and just keep trying to grab onto that. Keep trying to grab onto that, because misery is just a miserable thought that you are choosing to think over and over again.
And so you're almost creeping into rituals, and you open this thing with rituals. You know, we just spent a lot of time talking about what goes in your mind and your mindsets and your mind blocks and all that. Now let's talk about the rituals that, once you get on a good track, keep these things in place. What is one of the rituals that might surprise people that you absolutely commit to?
All right. Rituals are so huge to me. I'm literally, like, I'm actually obsessed with the word ritual. It's one of my favorite words in the entire world. I just think it's beautiful because of how it sounds and what it represents. So for me, rituals are so important because it is the choice. It's the support of the choice of your life. Like, this is your life. So in the morning, rituals for me, the first thing that we do is start with a mantra. And this is just the beginning, because a lot of shifting has to take place in my mind. I swear to you, it's like I go to bed and I sleep, and all of a sudden, it's like I lose everything I did the day before. I lose who I am. I lose that amount of happiness. Don't get me wrong. Some days I wake up happy, but a lot of times, I don't know if I go in a coma at night. I don't know what I do. But I wake up in the morning and I don't feel super happy and excited. I feel pretty negative, to be honest.
Yeah, you don't wake up on the, like, you're not a naturally happy person when you wake up.
No, I'm not, which is exactly why I teach what I need most. That is why my podcast is called Earn Your Happy. I have things in place that reroute me back to my happiness, back to my love, back to my true essence. So when I wake up in the morning, it's the mantra. I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, more fit than I am yesterday. Now, does that really shift me immediately? Not at all. But it gets my mind saying, no, you want to start thinking these things. Okay. So wake up, brain. This is what you want to focus on. So I go downstairs and I say a prayer, and I get really grateful. I get grateful for the day. I get grateful for what I woke up to. I get grateful for everything that I get to do, everything that I got to do the day before. I get grateful for anything and everything that I can possibly think of, even if it's just a warm bed or a cup of coffee. And I say even just, but how many people don't have that, you guys? How many people don't have that? So get really grounded in the beautiful things that you get to wake up to. A job. If you just lost your job, get really grateful for the fact that maybe you get an extra hour of sleep while you get to go job hunt for something that's new and exciting and amazing, and you just got freed up of something that might have been soul-sucking. Like, get really grateful even for the crap, right? Because in every moment, there's something to be grateful for. And then I read. For at least 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, I focus on exactly what I want to focus on. And here's the thing about reading is that I want to align my thoughts with people who are thinking amazing thoughts. So if you can't get that amazing thought yourself, read someone else who's in the place of alignment, who is thinking amazing thoughts. And it's automatically going to be downloaded into your cells and into your system of these incredible thoughts. That's why we don't watch the news in the morning. That's why we don't get aligned with BS, because I want to be on alignment with people who are elevated. And then we meditate. And that's one of the biggest things for me. Meditation and visualization is picturing how I want my day to go, picturing how I want my project to go, really clearing my mind for maybe the first 2 or 3 minutes and noticing, you know, what's coming in and releasing it. So really, meditation, visualization for me is releasing anything that is blocking me from love, blocking me from my growth, blocking me from a higher vision.
You know, one of the favorite rituals that we put in about halfway through the year last year was pages before swipes. Like, literally, we made this rule in the morning that before we're allowed to go on Instagram or anything like that, that can be such a black hole that controls the outcome of your thoughts. We made the rule that we got to read 10 pages. And a lot of times those 10 pages then turn into a lot more, 20 pages, 30 pages, a couple chapters. So pages before swipes is one of my favorite rituals. I also love, sometimes a ritual is what you don't do, what you have a non-negotiable policy about. And we have no news on in this house ever. Matter of fact, sometimes when people stay with us and we'll come down and they have a news channel, it's the most weird foreign sound in the world. I'm like, the hell is that sound? What are you doing?
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm like such a weirdo. They probably think I'm such a freak.
With that?
I'm like, oh, no, we're going to put on some music.
Yes, exactly. And that's another ritual. We have music on in the house the minute we wake up, almost all day long, because the music really controls your mood, doesn't it? The music. So, you know, there's little small unexpected rituals that make such a big difference. You know, mine is that nobody can reach us before 11. That's our time to do everything that you talked about, the prayers, meditations, reading, and all that, and also get our workouts in. We put ourselves first, which may sound selfish, but it's not, because when you put yourselves first, then you can be the best version of yourself for everybody else the rest of the day. And by the way, if you're sitting there saying, well, I literally can't start my day that way. I have to be at work by this time. I have to get the kids out the door. I have to do that. Then I'm guessing there's somewhere else in your day, whether it's lunchtime or whether it's evening or whether it's late at night, that you could carve out a ritual time, a chunk of time where you can do your rituals and make sure that you are still putting yourself first so that you can be the best version of yourself for everybody else. So it's all those rituals that take all these mindsets that we want to have and lock them into place. I don't care how positive you want to think, it's not going to be consistent if you don't have the rituals to reinforce them.
And you have anxiety around what you don't have boundaries around, for sure. So the other thing is, if you don't have these rituals and you don't have boundaries, then you are living in resentment, and resentment is heavy, and resentment is robbing you of allowing you to see these people in your life the way that they deserve to be seen. So really having boundaries, especially for you women out there, because we take a lot of us were raised, especially right now, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s, to be people pleasers. And that means that we associate love with showing up for people and being yes women. And I know that this is huge for men as well, actually. So the more that you say yes, the more you feel loved, the more you feel needed. And if you start saying no, you worry that people will think that you are a bitch, or that you are not there for them, or that you're selfish. And the thing is that the second that you put those boundaries, a lot of times people will give you credit for respecting you, or for saying, wow, you gave me the freedom to actually set up boundaries for myself. Or you might get criticism, but these are from the people who have no boundaries themselves. I promise you, you are not going to get criticism from people who have boundaries and who truly respect you. So it's going to be the quickest way to find out who maybe shouldn't get majority of your time, who maybe should not be in your life all of the time. And this is a tough topic, Chris. So aligning your tribe, like really setting up your tribe to hold your highest values with respect.
This is a game changer. I want everyone to start to see how these things build on each other and support each other. You can't have one without the other one. And that's why we address these. So first was your mindset. And what do you want going in, and what do you want coming out based on your mindset? And what are your beliefs around your mindset? And then it started to get into, okay, well, now you know what you want to believe, but what rituals do you have in place in order to reinforce those things? And now, no matter what rituals you commit to, those can go awry real quickly if you have the wrong tribe around you. They're inviting you to happy hour, or they're, you know, pulling you this direction, pulling you that direction, or they're the people that are pushing negativity into your life when you've just committed to all these positive things. And so aligning your tribe is everything. I mean, it's the game changer. And every year we've made a really conscious choice to up-level our tribe. And I want to be clear, because I get this question a lot. When people say, I want to change my tribe, or I want to up-level the 5 or 6 people that I spend the most time with so that I can be happier or healthier or wealthier or whatever it is that you want to be, except I don't want to leave my friends behind, or I don't want to leave my family behind. Well, there's two answers to that. Number one, sometimes you have to leave people behind if they're toxic and if they are pulling you out of your purpose. I mean, how dare you sacrifice your purpose to make somebody else happy, right? And mm-hmm. let's be honest, they're not even being happy. But the second answer is most of the time you're not leaving people behind. You're not kicking people to the curb and literally replacing them. What you're doing is you're saying, I love you in my life for these reasons, but I'm also going and bringing other people into my life for other reasons, because mm-hmm. I want to increase my financial goals, or I want to increase my accountability, or I want to increase my health goals. And so you're seeking new tribe to change the overall average of the tribe that you are in. You're not kicking people to the curb unless they are bad for you. You are just adding in other tribe members. Sometimes they're virtual, so you're spending hours and hours and hours listening to certain people so that they can have a good influence on you. That's one form of tribe. But a lot of times it's physically going out and committing to making new friends or new business partners or new mentors.
I think this is the biggest thing that helps people transcend. I mean, it's literally you create a tribe for the transition, because when there aren't people on the other side of that bridge that is laden with fear because it's new, when there aren't people from the other side yelling, hey, it's awesome over here. Hey, on that third piece of wood that you're about to step on, just know that it's going to come with some criticism, but it's okay, because once you get over it, there's something really amazing on the other side. So letting people come into your life who've been there before, who can say, hey, you know that time when you felt really bad about yourself, or you thought you were a total failure, or that this wasn't for you? Yeah, I experienced that too. And when I just kept on going, I found what lit my soul up and what really changed my life and my finances and, you know, just completely rocked my world. And I'm so grateful now for that lesson. But you can't see it right now. You can't see through the pain. You can't see through the fear. All you can see is where you've been. So you're going to run back to any joy and comfort that you can remember. But the tribe on the other side says, no, no, don't go back. It's so much better over here. Keep going. If you just keep walking straight, there's a door that you're going to run into, and it's going to open up to your wildest dreams. But without that tribe on the other side, we can't do that.
You know, the problem with a lot of, how do I phrase this appropriately? The problem with the tribe that a lot of people currently have is not that they have a malicious tribe that wishes them harm.
Never.
It's that the tribe that they currently have literally doesn't know any different. So they can't direct you differently. They literally don't know any better. So they can't direct you better. They literally have not experienced what you seek to experience. So they cannot offer you encouragement to go that direction. People only know what they know until they go have a different experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that your tribe is malicious. It's that your tribe literally doesn't know any better, and it is your job to seek tribe who does. So, Lori, what are your favorite ways to seek new tribe?
Well, I want to seek tribe off of people and their mindset. If they are operating from fear, or are they operating from possibility? And this is really clear on a couple sentences in conversation. You'll know right away if people are going to be a good fit for you or not, for where you're going, if you talk about you know, what you want to create in the world, what you want to do, what impact you want to make, what are the good things that are going on in your life, what's exciting. These are all elevated things that make you feel good and make you feel like you're expanding, make you feel hopeful, make you feel really excited about your life. These are all emotions and feelings that are going to direct you immediately towards, yes, this is a good place to go. When people are operating out of fear, out of comparison, out of judgment, if you start talking to someone and the immediate first thing they say is something about someone else or something on the news or something that's sad or something that's scary, this for me is a sign that someone's still operating in fear. It doesn't mean like, oh, you're a bad person. It just means I don't want to align with that, because it's very easy to slip into that place. And I want to surround myself with people who are wanting to transcend, who are wanting to choose bigger.
So I've been having all these mastermind calls lately, you know, for the mastermind that I'm setting up this year. Shameless plug, anyone who is a multiple six-figure earner, that's an entrepreneur trying to get to seven figures. That's what my mastermind is all about for 2018. So I've been having all these calls where I interview people to see if they are a good fit for the tribe or not. Because just because they apply and just because they say they want to be in and just because they say, oh my God, I've been seeking this, doesn't mean they're the right fit this year for everybody. Because I want to cultivate the room, the most perfect room full of amazing souls that I know are going to fit together well. So I'm on all these calls. And the number one reason when I say, hey, why are you interested in this? They say, well, I just can't find the tribe around me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they live in an area that doesn't have a lot of big thinkers. Sometimes they live in an area that might be more rural. Who knows what? But the number one answer I've been getting is, you know, I've just had a real hard time finding the right tribe. I hear people talk about them on podcasts. I hear that they're out there. I see people running with them, but I can't seem to find them myself. And so I thought this is a good way of plugging myself in. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It is. Any mastermind, anybody's mastermind in any form, it's one of those hacks that is the fastest way, as long as you choose a good one, to immediately finding new tribe that is like-minded, that is going to help you either think bigger or help reinforce the thoughts that you do want to have.
You know, all you have to do is follow the successful people's routes, because that's really all Chris and I have ever done is say, oh, that person is super successful. Why? Who are they hanging around? What are they doing? And one of the biggest things that we found, especially when did I go to Jack Canfield's training? It was like 6 years ago now, maybe. Maybe seven, six
no,
or
seven? 5 years ago. Five? We had just moved here.
I have no time reference, so I refer to Chris. Anything with time, I have no idea, which is why I feel so young. It's fantastic. You know, when I went there, he's been doing this for years. He had been masterminding and making sure that, I think he went every Monday to go really align himself with huge thinkers in the world. Every Monday, he had created a mastermind of these people to come together and align their week with the thoughts they want to think and the things that they want to do. Because it's too easy to start, contracting in this world with what we're reading and what we're putting into our minds. So if we're not constantly choosing our tribe and not choosing our thoughts, you're going to contract. You're going to get smaller. So tribe for Chris and I, every single year for like the past 4 years now, three or four, mm-hmm. we have chosen a mastermind, a chosen tribe, right? Because otherwise people are like, yeah, well, you're so lucky because you have a tribe. No, these are chosen tribe. These are things that we have purchased, that we have bought to make sure that we have consistent times to meet. I want to invest so much money into something so that I show up. So that I have that tribe, so that I have that support. And of course, you're not always paying for these people like to be your friends. Of course, naturally, you start to be friends after this. But in the beginning, it's about somebody holding a space for you to attract incredible people who are also just as invested. That's why I think it's so important when Chris and I search for a tribe. I want people who are just as invested as me to show up. I want people who are just as invested in love, in life, in their career, in their impact. So when I say career, you guys, I just mean overall impact of what you want to do with your legacy and in the world. And of course, you need the finances to support your legacy and what you want to do in the world. So, you know, for all of you who might still have some money issues, that's another reason why tribe is so huge, is to get around people who understand that money is just an energy and you're going to get paid for the output that you are putting in the world. If Chris and I do not make millions of dollars, we cannot support our tribe. We can't support our purpose. I can't support the events. I can't support the book. I can't support the team. I can't support the give back efforts. We can't support this trip that we're going on to Guatemala in like 3 weeks. So you guys, you have to understand that money is just an energy and it's vital to make such close friends with your finances and get around people who also feel that way about money.
Yeah, money is just a tool, right? It's a magnifier. It's a tool that magnifies what your intentions are. So if you are a total bag of crap, it's going to make you a bigger bag of crap. But good news, most of you are epic human beings with great big dreams and really good intentions. So guess what money is going to make you? It's going to make you an even bigger, more effective, more human being with more impact that you can make because mm-hmm. you will do positive things. I mean, look at the whole... not mantra, what do you call it, tagline to my podcast. When good people make good money, they do great things, because that is a fact. It's mm-hmm. exactly what they do. So that's exactly the tribe that I've put together. If you guys want to check out some of the last few spots that are available, it starts in a couple of weeks. And I think there's two, maybe three spots available based on who is going to finally say yes and commit to the mastermind. But it's fortheloveofmoney.com/mastermind. You can check out all the information there and fill out the mini app. We'll jump on the phone. Again, it's fortheloveofmoney.com/mastermind. But it's one of the easiest ways to plug into this tribe that's going to up-level how you think about money and up-level your business acumen, taking you from multiple six to seven figures over the next year.
I'm probably one of the biggest things I'm most excited about, not only just writing a book this last year, but your mastermind, because number one, I get to be there. And number two, they're my favorite thing in the entire world. And it's truly because you are connecting people who are just as excited about your purpose as they are theirs, because it is the year of collaboration, the year of tribe. And moving forward, I feel like we're just remembering. I really don't even feel like it's this new thing at all. I feel like it's this remembrance of who we naturally are historically. And I think the way that life is just set up now, because it's so fear-based, is the more separate we are, the more in fear that we can be. The more together we are, the more elevated, the more expansion you can have in your life. Because together, you are so much more powerful. That's the thing about, you know, Chris and I were in, and we are again, actually, we join, like I said, we join a mastermind every year. We're in Lewis Howe's mastermind. But creating his own mastermind is probably the most exciting thing, having Chris have his own mastermind, because really it's like we were on a walk last night talking about taking all of the most exciting things that we've ever learned and just pouring into these people, whoever decides to join. And like you said, it's almost full, but like knowing that these dreams are finally coming to fruition, this purpose in the world, how much better will this planet be because these people are realizing their dreams and really living out their gifts? Because that's what it's all about, you guys. We all have them. It's the belief that we don't that's making us miserable. You are a part of something so much bigger. And that's what this mastermind is walking into a room, no matter how fearful you are, and saying, well, these people all hold the same fears, yet we're all really purpose driven. Okay, so we're going to release those fears. We're going to release all of the things that have been blocking us, because I know in my heart that the world needs this.
And listen, while we're talking about tribes, there's a whole nother way for people to plug into a brand new tribe, and that's your Bliss Project, the fifth year that you're doing that. And I'm actually going to nudge you right now to unapologetically talk about why that tribe is so important to plug into.
Ooh, I love that. Unapologetically, I want to say, because this is my soul's purpose. And just like I'm sharing about Bliss Project, just like Chris is sharing about his mastermind, this is what you guys are meant to create in the planet. This is your life's work, is to elevate yourself through the things that you enjoy most, which then in turn elevates other people. I think so often we have that backwards, right? It's like, well, if this is bringing me pleasure and happiness, this must be selfish. No, that's exactly how we were created. If it's bringing you pleasure, happiness, and joy, follow it, because it's going to expand you, which is going to trickle down into everyone else, and you will use that to help expand others. So our entire life's purpose is to either solve an obstacle and create a solution in our life and share it, or follow that heart's, your soul's nudge and share that with other people. So that's what the Bliss Project is for me. It is everything that has ever elevated my life, anything that's ever lit me up, any sort of tool, any sort of person who's really changed my life. I'm trying to bring them all into one room so that you can have one of the most impactful weekends of your life. You guys, Bliss Project is the reference point for the rest of your life. You're going to be stepping in there and trying on the higher version of yourself, something that you're afraid to do out in the real world. But let me tell you, once you have one reference point of you being bold, of you being brave, of you overcoming in a safe space, right? Of you releasing your story and understanding that every other woman in that room has the same exact story or something similar, you understand that all of a sudden, everyone is there to support you. Everyone has the same mission. We're all deciding to choose possibility and expansion over fear. And when you leave that room, you realize it's a popular thing to do. And sometimes we go back to our regular tribe and it's easy to contract, right? And so it's just the remembrance of once you go into that room, you can't unsee it. It's kind of like all of a sudden, once you realize this life of bettering yourself out there, of self-development, of these other people who are thinking a different way, once you go there, you can't unsee it. You'll never be the same. You might go back to that same circle, but what will happen is you've planted a seed. You have a seed of awareness that you can change your life, and it is power. The number one thing about why people, or the people who change and the people who become successful, their number one belief, what I found, is that they first have to have the reference point and belief that they can change. And the way to do that is to step into that room and seeing other people who had the same story as you change their lives and make the choice to elevate and to live better and to live a happier life.
Oh my God, I love that. And so I'm going to plug for you, theblissproject.info is where people can get the last few tickets. And when I say last few tickets, I literally mean it. We're down to, I forget what the percentage is, less than 5% of tickets are available, something insane like that. So anyhow, theblissproject.info. I'm so excited for what you put together for the fifth year in a row now. Sixth one, fifth year in a row.
Can I just say fun too? Because if some people are like, oh, that sounds kind of scary or self-development heavy, like this is going to be so much fun. I mean, oh, I have I'm these incredible singers and dancers, and like we're going to do some amazing things with the stage this year. Like you are going to feel like you are getting totally poured into, and like it's just going to be so much fun and so beautiful and such an awesome environment to be in. And did I mention swag bags? Yeah, that's all I have to say to women. I don't
the
know.
Sponsors are awesome for the swag bags. So let's kind of put a bow on it with this.
I like bows.
You like bows. Okay, well, we'll put a bow on it.
Not really.
The last section I wanted to make sure we chatted about was making sure you have the energy to keep up with everything that you're about to experience, whether you're committing to events, whether you're committing to new rituals, whether you're committing to new mindsets. How do you keep the energy to keep up with it? And how do you stay in the energy to want to keep doing it?
Okay, so there's levels to this. This is just like rituals. Like if our rituals sounded overwhelming, it's because, you know, we've layered these. We've taken years to really practice making these things a habit. Same thing with energy, you guys. So the number one thing that I want people to do is really look at their life and find where they're leaking their energy the most. Like, is it because when you go to sit down and make that business plan for yourself finally, and you set aside 4 hours and you go and you sit in your chair and you have everything out in your whiteboard, except when you go to start thinking about it, all you can think about is that conversation that you need to have with someone in your life. And it's an open loop and it drains you of all your energy. And you're like, I can't even do this because I have this huge upheaval in my life, this conversation that I know that I need to have that I'm not having. And it's this open loop that's draining all of your energy. Or you sit down at that whiteboard to have that plan and you start falling asleep because you've eaten a really crappy breakfast again. So we need to clean these small things up first. So you look for the one that is the main thing that keeps unblocking you and just focus on that for the next couple weeks, I would say. Just start seeing where you can close the loop, where you can make those tiny, tiny little adjustments in your life so that when you go to do these bigger things, you're not blocked again.
They're never big ones. For me, it's always been food, right?
Yeah.
I know how to eat right, but making that right choice is, I make the excuse that I love the taste of food so much. And I do. But it doesn't mean that I can't enjoy the things that I like eating. And so here's a great example of making small choices one at a time. Do you remember when we started making those make your own salads every single night down at the salad place? And my salad probably had, no joke, 12 different things in it, like you know, was it feta cheese and you know, those sweet stuff. Little walnuts,
cranberries.
And cranberries and eggs and like all of this 12-13 different ingredients. And then what did I start doing? I'm like, okay,
it was a burger salad.
It was like, it was insane.
You might as well have had a burger and fries, but that's cool.
we'd sit down, we'd figure out the calories of it. And it was nuts. But listen, this is a great example because what did I do? I'm like, all right, I know I can't keep up with this because it's not serving my energy. It's not serving the body that I want. It's really just lying to myself and telling myself that I'm having a salad. So I said, I can do without the cranberries. And I swapped them out for grapes, which weren't that much better, but it was a sign of making a move. Then what did I do? I'm like, you know, I can live without the feta cheese. You know, so a week later, I stopped putting that in. And then a week later, I'm like, I can live without these little sweet little walnuts. And just one by one, every week or two, I started eliminating some of the ingredients. And now I have a salad with four ingredients in it. And it's healthy. And I've got the most energy and my favorite body I've ever had. And so it's little steps. It's not going to cold turkey all the time. It's a little step after step after step, giving yourself that freedom to choose when you're ready, but also holding yourself accountable to making the choice and not making excuses, finding that sweet spot in the middle where you can slowly inch your way towards doing the right thing and making the right choices for energy.
I love that. It's all levels, because if you really look all the way back, your first amazing choice was that you even said, okay, let's go have a salad. You know, so switching over, and a lot of people do this with their tribe at first. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll go to this networking event. And sometimes we find it's not really the right one, but what it did was it got us over that first big hurdle, right? So even if you guys, and I hear this a lot, like sometimes you're like, yeah, I tried this, but I didn't like it. Okay. It's the first trial. It's like, yeah, I ate a salad, but I didn't get the abs I wanted. Okay, but you still ate the salad. Keep eating the salad, because the salad is a gateway drug to awesomeness. Like, your Caesar salad is a gateway drug to the kale salad. So
I used to hate kale. Now I crave it.
Yes, it's amazing. Like, Chris and Kale did not get along. Like, he used to make so much fun of me. By the way, I call kale nature's toothbrush for your colon. I don't know why I
You probably
that.
Just made nobody want to eat kale. You just ruined the whole thing. No one's going to eat
no
a salad
No one wants
again.
A clean colon?
All right. Listen, another way that I've really gotten my arms around the energy was when we started doing the intermittent fasting. And it's not like we're prescribing this for everybody to try.
It doesn't work for some people.
But I found that when I rested my digestive system for longer periods of time, you know, 3/4 of a day at a time, and then just have like an 8-hour window of eating, I had more energy than I've ever imagined. Now, the hump of getting over eating 5-6 meals a day because your body was trained to be hungry, that was tough. But when I sought out something new and got through the tough part to make it my new norm, the rewards on the other side were tons and tons and tons of more energy. And so I give you this example, not so everyone starts intermittent fasting every day, but so that they go, number one, seek what might work for them. Number two, get past that hump when it doesn't feel good at first. And number three, finally get the reward on the other end, because it's always freaking worth it. It just takes a little bit more persistence than you think.
I mean, if you would have told me about, if someone would have come up to me and said 3 years ago, you should do intermittent fasting, I would have smacked them clear across the face, because I loved breakfast. I was so, my belief was so firm in, I need a big breakfast. I need this. I need that. Yet my energy level in the afternoon was just so low. Now, will I intermittent fast the rest of my life? I have no idea. I may not at all. I may switch it next week, because I really follow what I feel is necessary in that time. And right now, this time in my life is calling for a bit more energy. And this is really working well for me. It took me a good month to get used to it, to detach from the need, to detach from the desire to readjust my way of eating. But you know what it did do for me? I like bigger dinners, and I love going out to dinner with my husband. I love being social. I love having a glass of wine a few times a week. Not wine, now it's champagne. I'm just being honest. And I'm able to do that with intermittent fasting, because I can have a bit more throughout the day. So for me, I set it up in a way that I want to enjoy my life more, and that's why it works for me. But it took me a while. Like I said, I was so attached, but I want to get into, and these are just examples of energy loops. If you're leaking energy with your tribe or with people, that's a huge thing that you need to focus on first. If you're leaking energy with gossiping, if you're leaking energy with judging, these are the places you need to focus on first, one at a time, you guys. And like I said, these are levels. I still have so many levels I would love to get to, but I'm not pressuring myself. But something that I want to talk about, to end on for the most part is really making sure that in your week or in every single day, there is play or there's something that you enjoy. Because this is so big for me this year, Chris. I just came off of a year where while we did play a lot, it was more in pockets. And I have to play every day. Like, you and I are pretty playful at home, but I gotta have something that I look forward to, or this work in the world is just, I get too tired.
Play is so important.
It gives me life.
What do? We schedule in things like Fry dates where we're not allowed to book any work, but we, I planned a little adventure for us on Friday. We've made it a priority this year to embrace that side of us that wants to have more fun, knowing because our fear in the past was, well, if we spend too much time having fun, we're not going to have enough time to do all these great business tasks that we have committed to. The problem is the reverse is true. You are always going to expand your work to fit in whatever size box you give yourself. So if you give yourself a 9-hour day to do work, well, then you're just going to expand the same amount of work in that 9-hour day. Then if you gave yourself a 6-hour day to do work and spent 3 hours of fun and play and had more energy as a result.
And the problem with achievers is that we don't think play is productive. We're like, oh yeah, well, we have these goals, right? How does play fit inside of my six-figure goal? Or you guys, maybe it's just whatever goal it is. It doesn't matter what size it is. Or how does play fit inside my, X amount of dollar goal, or just my happiness level, whatever that looks like. Maybe you're like, well, play isn't a big deal for me. Play is a big deal. When I say play, I mean creativity. I mean getting out in nature, travel, like just getting to that place where your soul is free and is just, you're following exactly what is nudging you. So the important thing about play is that for me as an achiever, I had to at first insert the word play is productive. Play is productive. So even if it feels like it's doing nothing, it is opening you up to bigger ideas and bigger things than you could ever imagine. It's so crazy because the title of my book came right after a really nice long week of play that I had not done in a long time. I was forcing myself to try to figure out, what is this book going to be about? Why is it going to be so different? Why is it going to be so shifting? And right at that pivotal moment of like where I was having a breakdown with all of the work that I was doing, we went and said, you know what, screw it. Let's turn off our devices. Let's just go and play. Let's just go and have fun. Let's just go and connect. Let's go be in the ocean. Let's go be in the sunshine. Let's just go be goofy and explore and be kids. And on the plane ride home, literally wasn't even thinking about it. It was downloaded like a lightning bolt. You guys, this happens to me all the time. I had some amazing things happen right after Costa Rica. I have some amazing things happen right after I'm in the ocean. When I have no attachment to, what is this play going to bring me? Okay, I'm going to go play like she said, but you're attached to the idea that it's going to bring you something. You really have to go and play with the idea that you are just connecting with yourself, with the universe, with just creation in general, with how we're supposed to be in life. Because that's really all it's about, is the moment, getting so, so, so rooted and grateful for the present moment. And that's what play does, just pulls everything out of your mind and allows you to be open to the universe, to source, to love.
I love that. So let's kind of wrap this up on that note. And it's funny because you're kind of doing your podcast, I'm kind of doing mine. And I always have a signature question at the end of mine. I don't know if you do, but mine is, why should people be unapologetic about their pursuit of wealth and success? What's your response to that?
It's just another form of energy, and it's all created from the same spot. It's all created from the same place, and it is a way to know that you are putting your gifts out into the world and supporting them. So if you want to make the world a better place, and if you want to truly help people, you have to create the energy around that to be able to support yourself.
I love that.
Okay, I have one. You
What's
ready?
What's yours? Yep.
This is a dual podcast.
I love it.
Okay, you're in an elevator with someone, and you only have 30 seconds, and it's a total stranger, and they look over at you, and they say, how can I make myself happy? What do you say?
Oh my gosh, I love that. I think I tell them that, number one, nothing matters as much as you think it does. Number two, the secret to everything is love. Took me a long time to really realize that. And number three, your version of happy is just that. It's your version. Don't let anybody else tell you what it's supposed to be.
Ooh, that's a good one. Not just because you're my husband. Okay, you guys, thank you so much to tuning in to the Earn Your Happy podcast and the
For the Love of Money podcast. It's so funny. We literally just sat down, coffees in hand, in the morning. We're like, let's just go talk about this stuff.
Coffee talk.
And now we're going to pump that content out to you guys because we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Pump it up. Technotronic.
You kill me, babe.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.